The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Have you noticed that no matter how hard you try to release attachments, heal traumas, and change your life, you still feel as if you don't belong? There is a reason and a solution for this. Join award-winning actor, comedian, and best-selling author Kyle Cease and learn how to immerse yourself in a new way of being at From Lonely to Free, a weekend workshop May 24th to 26th at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Learn more at eomega.org/thrive.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Discover hope and healing from the other side. Welcome to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesman.
Listen, they're all around you, close as a thought or a memory.
Messages of Hope.
Hey, and hello, everybody, and guess what? I'm back on the road. Maybe you heard me singing On the Road again a couple days ago. Ty and I got in our RV with puppies Rudy and Nellie, our new puppy this year. Gretchen's with us in spirit, and we are heading west. The mountains are calling. This year, we're only going out for 4 months, but I do actually have a couple of live events along the way. Next one coming up is Tulsa this weekend, teaching my Serving Spirit Level 1 class in Tulsa. So yay to those folks who are joining me there. We still have a couple openings, but it's just going to be a nice small group, and we're going to learn how to connect with the spirit world. So I want to tell you, I want to chat a little bit. This is the call-in day, first Thursday of the month, and we hope to answer some questions, we being me and my team, Sanaya and Spirit. But I wanted to share with you some little just chat for a while. I want to get into the swing of things here and tell you how the trip started. We headed west from Hilton Head, South Carolina, and our first stop was Atlanta, Georgia, where we met up with my wonderful friend and my radio show assistant, Lynette Setscorn. Yay, Lynette. We hadn't seen each other in person in over a year, and it was just so great to be with her. And she and Ty and I went out to dinner. She showed us around her new area. She's lived there since September, and it was just beautiful to meet her family and just connect again. And now she's meeting me in Tulsa. That's her old stomping grounds. So we get to spend the weekend together. Then from there, we went on to Tupelo, Mississippi, where I met up with a future radio show guest, Ingrid Hunkala. You're going to meet Ingrid in a couple weeks on this show. She is just the most spiritually connected woman, just beautiful, beautiful light. And I met her at an IANS conference a while back, last year I think it was, and invited her to be on the show. Knew she lived in Mississippi after reading her book and said, "Hey, Ingrid, are you anywhere near Tupelo?" She writes back, she says, "I'm coming to see you. It's only 4 hours away." I'm thinking, 4 hours, oh my goodness. And she and her husband and her son got in the car, got underway at 6 a.m. and drove to the state park in Tupelo, where we had the most lovely day together. The reason I'm sharing this, it was such a cool thing. Here I'm thinking, poor Ty. And if you know St. Ty, he puts up with a lot with my work. You know, he just does so much to support me in this spiritual work. And so we met with Lynette, and that was all girls, and we were talking a little bit of spiritual stuff, not a whole lot. And then here's a whole day with Ingrid, who's very spiritual, and I'm thinking, oh, Ty. And Ingrid shows up with her husband, Mike. And Mike is a former special ops guy in the Navy, retired Navy like Ty and me. And Mike now leads a combat training academy. He shows up looking all buff, looking like Mr. Commando. I looked at the two of them, Ty and Mike, and I was like, thank you, God. Ty got to spend the whole day talking guy stuff. The testosterone was flowing. I was like, this is a gift from heaven. And Ingrid and I went off in our little corner and talked our spiritual stuff. And it was like, yay, a gift for Ty. So that was just a great day. And then we spent the next day traveling on to Memphis, Tennessee, where I had the pleasure of going to the best place in the world. I have a new friend named Candace Blair. You're going to meet her in a future show. She is a sound healer and a yoga master. She introduced Ty and me to the world of gongs and sound healing through gongs. And she said, oh, the best place to get your gongs in the United States is the Memphis Drum Shop. I looked at Ty and he says, we're going right through Memphis. Now, here's where you know how much of a saint my husband is. Not only did he encourage me to get a beautiful gong for my own personal meditative use and sharing at events if I so choose, but he says, sure, Suzanne, bring it in the bus. Well, you buy a gong based on how it speaks to you. And there are little gongs. He just hit the gong. We got a 38-inch Sun gong. It has the most amazing sound. I feel like I'm transported to the heavens. And it is now sitting in the living room of our RV. Now, 38 inches, that's 3 feet across. And I said to Ty as I was playing it yesterday and today and the day before, I wonder how many people in the campground, he just played it again. I wonder how many people in the campground have a gong. So I think it's a little unusual, and we will be lugging this sucker around for 4 months. I don't really want to have it on the road, but I couldn't pass up the opportunity to get it because it's the kind of thing you really need to pick out in person because it really does speak to you. So if you join me at any of my in-person events, I hope to have the gong with me because it is really cool. Even Ty loves it. He sits. It's just hilarious to see him sit on the floor cross-legged and he's playing the gong. So miracles happen every day, don't they? So thank you for putting up with my chit chat. I do want to just change gears a little bit here. That's why I needed to bring the energy up, because if you're listening live, you know, we can't get away from the news, and the news is just, it's just distressing lately. The way that, first of all, started with the shooting of George Floyd and then the riots in response to that. And if you're like me, empathic, you just feel the energy. There's so much unrest in not just our country, but around the world. And I've been tuning into my guides. I know some of you may have wanted to ask questions about this today. And things are exacerbated because of 2 months of uncertainty and fear with the coronavirus and people being cooped up. And this is just like adding oil to the fire of all of this uncertainty in our world. And I'm not going to get into details, but the guidance from the guides has come through very clearly, and especially the last 3 days of the Daily Way messages, talking about the power of prayer and how our energy truly makes a difference. And Ty, why are you opening the door? Are you going to play that gong again? He's letting Rudy in here. So be aware that if you're feeling ill at ease, number one, we get wrapped up in our human stories. And Sanaya, a beautiful message that they gave me, that the story is why we're here, to live this life, to experience everything, the highs, the lows, the discord, the frustration, the relationships, the lows, the highs, and at the same time, to discover within us that place where things never change, the peace. And the goal is to get to the space where you can drop into that place at any time, to be able to read the headlines, to send loving energy to all involved, and yet still find the peace within yourself, to say, this is part of the story, yet I know there's so much more. I know that I am more than my story. You know, some people may have lost their businesses, others lost their lives, of course, in this. And some people may listen to me and say, yeah, that's all well and good to say I am the light and send love. What if it were you? And I asked that question of myself. And I know through over a decade of daily touching that greater reality, the personal experience, that even if the personal tragedy touched me, I could find that place. And that's my prayer for all of us. I'm also reminded by my guides, I'll give you a couple tools here in a moment to find that place of peace instantly. But it's very easy. You know, when you go to a class and you sit in the same seat every day and somebody comes and sits in your seat and we get a little bit off balance. This is what life is like. We're sitting in a theater in the round and we're used to our seat, but the guides remind us that we're not just this one point of view. We are the oneness at the same time. So get up out of your seat and see things through other people's eyes. That's called empathy. That's what we need to exercise, that empathic muscle, to understand everybody has a right to their point of view. And when other people's point of view and actions knock you off balance, by God, send them love. I don't care how Pollyanna that sounds. It makes a difference. Just the other day, the guides showed me that sending love from our hearts is felt. It is an actual vibration that goes out, and our world needs it. So would you join me right now and take a deep breath before we send out that love? Just exhale all the tension that all of us have been holding lately. Just a nice, long exhale. All right. And now one more inhale. And now send out love through your heart 360 degrees that those who don't realize there's more, that they somehow find the peace that we're sending to everyone now, and that it's coming to you at the same time. Wow. Whoa, my lip just twitched. My guide said we really do make a difference. The tool that I'm going to share with you now before I take our first caller is one that I teach in my Let Your Spirit Soar course, and it's called Downgrading Your Demands to Preferences. We look at the news, we read the reactions of people, and we say, well, why can't they do things other way? And why is the world the way it is? That's a demand that things go our way. To downgrade that, all it takes is changing your wording to, I would prefer. That's a preference. That shows we can't control others' actions. So I would really prefer that everybody could deal with things peacefully, that we could all come to some kind of agreements, that violence didn't happen in any way, that we all treated each other with love and respect at all times. But that's not the way our world is right now. So what can I do? I can find that pace of peace. Can you feel the difference in I would prefer based versus just adding fuel to the fire? So I hope that's helpful to you. And I was just out on a walk here where we are now in Ozark, Arizona. And I was thinking, you know, gratitude brings us to a place of centeredness really quickly. And sometimes it's even hard to find what we're grateful for. But just run through your gratitude list and help that. Let that bring you to a place of being centered. Okay, so I'm going to turn now to answering some of your questions. If I can't answer them, I sat here and connected with my guides, Sanaya, beforehand, and I know they're always with me, as are your guides. Anybody who calls in today, I'm going to enter your name on a list. I'm going to pull a name at the end for one of my online courses as a gift, just as a thank you for calling in. I really thank a bunch of you. I've seen your names here on the list. You've been waiting a while. Alex, you're at the top of the list, so I'm going to click the button here. And Alex, thank you for your patience. You're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hey. Yes, I can. Hi. How are you doing today?
Fine. That's very exciting. I've discovered your books a while ago, and even I have the Hemisync video, but I haven't been great at connecting yet. I'll keep trying. But yeah, thank you for everything that you do.
Well, you're welcome. And how can we do our best to help you today?
I was wondering. So we talk a lot about the spirit and the soul, and I was thinking, you know, like our bodies are quite important as well, and I was curious about your thoughts on it. Like, the way we are we designed completely by random, like how things have evolved, or is it some design in like our physical, the way we have basically turned out to?
Okay, Alex, you're muffled and it's really hard to understand. I heard the way we're designed. Would you speak a little more slowly and maybe I'll be able to make out your question?
I'm so sorry. That was my fault. Is it clearer now?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. So I was wondering, the way we are, our physical bodies are we completely just turned out this way by random, or is it by design that we were kind of, or is it like a decision process that have led to how we look like and our physical existences?
Okay. This answer is coming from my guides because I got my little lip twitch that I can't control. But you can't help but look at the design of the body and see the perfection. Anybody who has studied sacred geometry and the golden mean ratio. Even the body is designed with these specific mathematical ratios throughout the body. It's truly magnificent. Anybody who's studied medicine can't help but marvel at the wonder of the human body. But our specific bodies, I've been told recently by the guides, and they confirm that now, we as souls chose our parents knowing what kind of a vehicle they would create for us, meaning, you know, what propensities will it have based on the DNA that we receive? What illnesses might we be prone to, and that what that would then provide us a challenge or not? Some souls actually choose a body that they know may be what we would call handicapped. Some would choose a body that's going to be really fast because part of their life is going to be being an athlete. So it's absolutely chosen for us, and even those who may be more prone to addiction can choose that body as a chance to deal with some issue that will help the soul in its evolution. I'm being told that the body is constantly evolving and getting better, and that's our soul's path as well. It's a cooperative engagement between the soul and the body. How's that sound?
Oh, wow. That is so cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Where are you calling from?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Okay, super duper. Well, I hope it's a little cooler than it is right now in Arkansas. Thanks for calling, Alex.
It's great. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Listen to the end and maybe you'll win the drawing, okay?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So let's see. Let's move on now to Lindsay.
Ooh.
Lindsay, hey. Yeah, you're up. How about it's like winning the lottery, right?
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you. Congratulations on your new puppy.
Oh, thank you. She is a challenge. I had to reach out to animal communicator Karen. Oh, my God.
Anderson.
Oh, my God. Anderson, thank you. I'm getting an A. Karen Anderson yesterday, because with help with Nellie, she is a willful little thing. And Karen said, I opened up her energy field. There's this ancient energy, but oh, she's going to give you a run for your money.
Wow. It'll be perfect. She'll be just what you need, right?
Yes. Tell us that when she, yeah.
I know.
We love her.
I know.
She
could
is
be
amazing.
Very challenging, but worth it.
You bet.
So apologies if this has been answered before, but it has to do with our manner of physical death. So okay. I've never been afraid of physical death, even as a young child, but the manner of dying. I wouldn't want it to be painful or terrifying.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this ties in. Does our soul counsel determine the manner of death? Are there options? Because some people experience a very peaceful passing while others have painful, difficult transitions. So I'd love to know why the differences and if this is something that's chosen.
I'm hearing, right, that's a great question, Lindsay. I'm hearing that there is a level of choice, that exit points are real, that there's a certain age at which we have an opportunity to return to the next level, or home with a capital H. Home is wherever where we find that place of peace. So home can be here. But if you miss an exit point and you're really supposed to have it, for example, say you have a car accident and it, because of other people's interference, you may have to pass another way, then it's not completely planned, the manner of death. But certainly people who are passing at an older age often choose to pass when people step out of the room. You've heard examples of that, right? As for the exact moment. But they're saying that it is not completely chosen, the manner, in all cases. In some cases, yes. I love that, because they've told us all the time that so many things are not completely blanket yes and no. But what they'd like me to share with you, especially right now, is that even those who appear to suffer, much of that is going on at the physical level, and the soul has already detached from the body. A lot of people who've had near-death experiences say that they, it's as if they're watching all of it. Is there's a detachment, there's a split, so that there's a human awareness of what's going on, yet at a soul awareness completely separate. My guest last week, or whenever she was on, Leslie Lupo, talked about being in the midst of a stampede of horses, and her body was clearly in trouble, and she was watching the whole thing and almost giggling at it from a soul level, which is just amazing. I'm rambling a bit here, but I find it comforting to share stories like this. I read another story of a woman who was on a plane that was hijacked, and she was shot by the hijackers and thrown out the door of the airplane. And she, at the moment just before she was shot, her soul came out of the body, and she watched the body go down the stairs. And miraculously, she survived that to come back and tell us about it. But many, many stories of that kind. So for anybody who has a loved one who did pass tragically, the soul is always well.
Right, right. And it's almost like if you're destined to come back in your physical body, you face a lot of pain, physical pain. And if you choose to depart, you're like in this other wonderful realm.
Well, I can't completely agree with that either, because, based on what I just said, is this no blanket statement there at all?
Right.
Much to ponder.
Oh, definitely.
One of the things I want to encourage everybody listening to always do is when you have questions like this, take them into meditation and ask this of higher consciousness and see what insights you get yourself.
Right,
okay.
Right.
All right.
Well, thank you,
well, thank
so
you for
much.
Calling, Lindsay. Hope that was helpful.
Okay.
All righty.
Absolutely.
Care.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. All right. I'm trying to read these tiny little letters on my screen. It looks like Jad, J-A-D. If I have that wrong, I apologize.
No problem.
Are you
Thank
there?
You so much. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, and how do you pronounce your name?
It's pronounced Yad, so J is
Yad. Okay.
Yes. Thank you so much for taking my call. My husband passed away almost 5 months ago. I'm grieving, having a really tough time, and I was hoping that he would help me to move on and make some decisions that I have to. Can you tell me if he's around? Is he trying to help me? Can he? Because I talk to him all the time, but I'm just not hearing or feeling.
I can tell you and everybody listening right away that our loved ones, I haven't found one yet who doesn't try to get through after the passing and who isn't around, especially when a loved one needs help. Whew. I get a thumbs up from my guides. I don't feel his personality specifically when I'm on the air. I don't always do that. I'm not that kind of medium, unfortunately, not always, but I can speak from experience and from what my guides show me right now. The problem is when grieving, that's like a blanket around our energy field, and it's like a filter that causes us to not always feel what our loved ones are trying to get through to us. So continue what you're doing, talking to him, and ask questions deliberately of him and of your guides for every decision that you face. Sit quietly, take a few really cleansing deep breaths, and say, I would really appreciate your answer to this question. And then even if you don't sense an answer, you can tune into your body. Your body will answer you with a tight, clenching feeling in the gut, the solar plexus in the heart area, if that's a no, or just a yes would be a nice, clear, open feeling. But that takes a little bit of practice with the deep breathing to get to the point where you feel relaxed before you ask the question. Okay?
Okay, I'll give it a shot. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and take care.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Looks like we have time for another question. Good, we have that before we had the break. So how about Amy? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Suzanne. Thanks for all the great energy.
Oh, well, you know, a lot of it comes from all of you who are listening, so it goes both ways.
Hey, Suzanne. Suzanne, two things real quick. I wanted to say the power of prayer. A few weeks ago, I live in a residential building, and we smelled burnt toast. You know, nobody really thinks anything because everybody lives in their room, and we smell burnt toast. It's a big building. You know, it's probably 40 people up here. And a gal was asleep, and she woke up, and she felt really blue. And she said, you know, Lord, I feel so blue, I don't know what to do. I was feeling great today, and she got inspired to walk out of her room and walk downstairs, and there was just smoke everywhere. Ooh. And somebody locked up their room, and they were out gardening, and they had a fire going on in their room, and they lived next to all the gas and electrical lines of the whole building. It's a big building. And thankfully, she called the fire department right away. The fireman said, had she not called, we would have blown up so quickly. Sheesh. Because of that little prayer. Lord, I feel so blue. I don't know what to do. Isn't
and
that
got
amazing?
That little nudge to go out for the walk. I was going to say, boy, is that ever a setup from spirit, a God thing?
Yeah,
absolutely beautiful.
There, I thought it was just burnt toast. But when I got out to the hallway downstairs, you couldn't see. You could not see. Wow, this is a bad fire. So, yeah.
Wow, you all have a lot to put on your gratitude list, don't you?
Yes. Hey, my real question, if I may ask, when you are going through life and you reach, you know, your late 50s and, you know, or whatever, you just hit a brick wall and you feel like, man, did I just waste so many years of my life? And I know what I want to do. There's so many choices. How do you put it together? What does the spirit world share with us when we just feel, you know,
well,
we wasted our
let me put it this way. You don't have to do a lot to change the world. You can do your life review right now, and don't judge it, all of us. If we were to pass through the veil right now and review everything we've ever done, what you know what matters? How many times did you smile at somebody when they needed a smile? How many times did you send love to people who were blue? How did you make a difference through connecting heart to heart? I hate this, Amy, but I have to go to a break. If you want to stick around, we'll chat a little bit more about that. When we get back, okay. You want to stick around?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
All right, great. Y'all come back.
Have you noticed that no matter how hard you try to release attachments, heal traumas, and change your life, you still feel as if you don't belong? There is a reason and a solution for this. Join award-winning actor, comedian, and best-selling author Kyle Cease and learn how to immerse yourself in a new way of being at From Lonely to Free, a weekend workshop May 24th to 26th at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Learn more at eomega.org/thrive.
Thanks for joining us. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back. You're listening to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesemann.
Indeed, we are back on the air, and like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm back on the road. I'm used to doing the show East Coast time at 4 o'clock. The show now is I'm in Central Time Zone in Ozark, Arkansas, and I just looked down in the clock, and it was 3:33 and 33 seconds. That is a good omen. So we were talking with Amy before we went to the break, and Amy, you were asking about wasting your life and hitting a brick wall in the middle of our life, and are we making a difference? I answered that partially. How are we doing with that? You have another second part to it you'd like to add? Amy, you're on the air. But I'm not hearing you. On the air, Amy, can you hear me? All right, unfortunately we dropped her. But what we were saying was it truly makes a difference if we were doing the life review of every time we interacted with someone else and shared our light. That is why we're here, and that's why it makes such a difference no matter what's going on in the world.
Can you hear me?
I hear you. You're trying. There you are.
Okay, yeah. Hey, just real clearly, it's like when you have all these great options now that you want to do, but you have to downsize, like you could do one chunk and it costs a lot of money, and you could do several. How do you tune into, you know, do you want the whole buffet or just focus on one thing at a time? You know, I guess it's all individual, huh?
It is, but this is where we have our higher consciousness and our guides who are so connected to us. And you do that test. If you don't connect very clearly with your guides, use that body test that I just used in the last example, where you sit and you say, okay, I have these options before me. How does it feel if I take option A? And you tune into your body. Does it feel open? Is there a clenching? And how does it feel if I choose option B? And you completely feel yourself, picture yourself in that situation. How does that feel? If it's open and free, that's a yes. Then you can directly ask your guides, if I'm supposed to do this, send me this specific sign and ask for a sign in the coming days. And you can play what I call the sign game. And it's just a really nice way to not just wonder what to do, but to ask for specific guidance. Okay?
Thank you so much, Suzanne. Thank you.
You're welcome, Amy. You take care. I had somebody just wrote to me and he said, you know, I don't usually play the sign game. I know my guides are here, but for some reason, his guide told him he was going to give him a sign of white roses, and he walked out on his patio, and this potted plant that never had flowers on it had white roses all over it. So I thought that's fun that the guide wanted to play the sign game. All right, I thank all of you for your patience. I see a bunch of you waiting, and I love that you're calling in. Francis, you're on the air.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, I know you're wonderful connecting with all of you.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's it. You're on.
Okay. I know you talked in the beginning about us all, the power of prayer and, you know, but I guess I wanted to know if there's anything else, you know, really tangible we can do to help, you know, with all the unrest in our country and to help restore peace, because it just feels so bad right now. And it just seems like we need to do something. I just don't know what.
What I can tell you is just use every outlet you have to not add fuel to the fire, to be the shining light. And no, it's not all Pollyanna. It's holding the light. We're like, you know, light workers are frequency holders. This is a term my friend Ingrid, when we got together, was sharing with me. And we were talking about this grid that really does surround our world. And each of us is like a node, a connection point on this grid that connects all of us. And a lot of lights are out right now. But by holding the light, by not bemoaning, oh, everything's so awful, but just, it's called holding sacred space, we make a difference. So when you see social media and people are just pinging on each other, don't add to that. It's okay to have an opinion, but understand that other people have their opinions. I was on somebody's Facebook page and I thought, look at how everybody's attacking each other for having an opinion. It's just, that's the story. We need to rise above it and hold the sacred space and not add to it. Is that helpful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then the other thing is turn off the TV when it starts to get too much.
I've been doing that for a while now because it just gets to be too much doom and gloom.
It is.
Well, what I've been doing is, you know, if I see somebody post something that I don't agree with and I want to share why I think that the other opposing view is valid, you know, I'll try to be, you know, as respectful as possible and say, you know, I respectfully disagree and I'll say my point. And then if it still is not going anywhere, I'll just say, okay, well, this isn't getting anywhere. Be well, or I wish you well. Have a good day. You know,
It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So thank you for adding that to the show.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, Francis, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. All righty. And now we're going straight on to Cassandra. How fun. You're on the air.
So thank you for adding that.
You ready? Be the boss.
Okay.
Cassandra. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Cassandra.
Bye-bye. All righty.
Okay. And I think somebody's talking on the phone. They probably didn't realize we're going to get to her. Cassandra, I'm going to keep you there and come back later. But meanwhile, we'll move on to Marion. Can you hear me, Marion?
Hi. Yes, I can. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, indeed.
Can you?
How can I help you?
Okay, can you hear me?
I hear you. What? How can
Hello?
I help you today? Jeff, can you hear me?
Hello? Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Okay. All right, I was asking my sound engineer because this is going haywire on me.
Okay, I'm from Massachusetts, and my husband passed away in January of 2019. He was going to live to 120, but obviously that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And we were very close, but one of the difficulties was that because of the circumstances, his family, who I was very close to, and he was close to, no longer speak to me. I had reached out to them and a couple of times, and there's no response, so I had to let it go. And on my Rick did committing with me, my husband. I tend to get excited easily and also, so I was set to call everybody or email them and let them know that, you know, let us get together. And I got need signs. I can't do that because it'll be too painful. And so I don't know how I will know the right time and if it is me to reach out to the family. This morning I had a CAT scan at the hospital and for lung cancer, and Rick died of lung cancer, and all of a sudden very much at peace. But I felt him right here in the room. And, of course, the woman, the technician, wanted to know what was the matter. And I said, my husband is here. And she was
beautiful,
familiar with mediumship. And so I talked to her after, and she had the same kind of an experience in her life about family, you know, not speaking. So I don't know. I'm, like, so torn between reaching out or not reaching out.
Okay.
To the family.
This is, you know, this is a, you broke up a lot, so I may have missed the some of what you were saying there, so we can
hear
at the end of this. But I understand the main point being that your husband passed and there's challenges now with his side of the family and no longer speaking to you. This is where, you know, at the human level, we find conflicts all the time, and we're so filled with shoulds, aren't we, that we should get along and we should all love each other. But, you know, people handle grief differently. People sure don't always do what we want them to do. And this is where we just have to step back and send them love, ask our guides to talk to their guides and help to reconcile things. And so many times in when I'm doing readings, those across the veil say that just be at peace, all is well, just send them love. So follow your heart, and if you've made an effort truly from your heart and you're not getting anything back, just drop the shoulds and just be at peace with what is happening right now. Continue to send love and hopefully things will come back together. But if they don't, then just flow and allow. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
I love that you felt him when you were having that test. And doesn't that make the most sense? That especially when you're going through a challenge, our loved ones are right there holding our hands from across the veil.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, all of us sending lots of love to you, too, as you go through this. All right?
Thank you, Suzanne.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks.
All righty. We now have Ingrid on the line. Thank you for calling in. Ingrid, you are on the air. Can you hear me?
Hi,
there we
Suzanne.
Go.
Yes,
hi.
I can hear you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. I have a question.
My husband died last August, and I wanted to find out, because I am scared of spirits, how to not be scared of them.
Okay, this is a great question. Let's ask, why are you afraid of them? No, let's ask a better question. What are you afraid they're going to do?
Show themselves to me.
Okay. Now, this is the thing that's most important to understand for all of you listening. I totally get that. I mean, we grow up watching scary movies and hearing about the boogeyman and that spirits are going to hurt us. And we hear terms like ghosts and poltergeists, and all of that is learned behavior. And what is your desire? It's to connect with your husband. So if you're afraid, first of all, know that there's this light in all of us that never goes out. So you turn up the light, and that is your innate protection. It's there all the time. Protection from what? From these collective thoughts about scary ghosts. I'm only laughing because I laugh at what we do to ourselves and how we filter out beautiful experiences that we could be having from things that we were told from little kids. And so set the intention that only the highest, most helpful spirits are allowed to come into your awareness, and then you don't necessarily have to see them. Just ask your husband to make his presence known to you in some way. It's actually very rare, Ingrid, to see a spirit. Did you know that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, very, very rare. I'm a medium, and I have only once seen a wispy spirit that looked like was taking form. All of the rest is in my mind's eye, but I feel their presence. I hear their words. They show me images. I feel their personality. So what we really want from our loved ones, yes, it'd be great to see them standing there, but we want to feel their presence again. So set that as your intention. Ask your guides and angels to take away the fear. And if you can learn to laugh at yourself, at the belief system that gets in the way of what you know would be the most beautiful experience ever, hopefully all of that together will do the trick.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. I'm going to now answer a question from Debs in England. She couldn't join us today, and she had just put on the Facebook page today a question that applies to all of us. She wanted to know, are our guides exclusively our own to help only us, or do they help others? She sounded a little protective. She didn't want to share her guides with everybody. But Debs, you're absolutely right that we have one guide who's ours for life. But that doesn't mean they can't work in concert with other guides to help groups of us and those in our soul family. And, you know, my guide Brenda, who I now my mediumship guide, was my dear friend when she was here in physical form. Brenda helps so many people now. I can't claim sole ownership of Brenda at all. She's laughing right now as I say that. She says there's a lot of her to go around. And so, you know, very powerful spirits help in any way they can. You definitely, all of us, have one guide that whose sole purpose is to help us, but it doesn't keep them from helping others if they see an opportunity. So just a quick aside there to answer Deb. All righty. How about we go to, it looks like Kayleen, C-A-L-E-E-N. You're on the air.
Hi. Susan. Thanks so much. Hi. I'm going to just start to talk, and hopefully we can pull a question out of it. I feel like for many years I've been just really spiritual and had a lot of faith and hope. And my husband, when he was 30, was diagnosed with brain cancer, and he passed away in March of 2019. And I would say even throughout that whole process And for like 6 months after his passing, I still felt like, you know, I really believe in spirit and the other side and signs. And then I feel like something kind of switched in me. I did go to like a couple different mediums, and I just felt a little more, I have been feeling more, you know, not really that I believe, knowing what I believe anymore. And, you know, the best thing is for him to be here. So what's the point of anything else?
So your readings did not go that well. It didn't convince you that he's still around.
I feel like I've had great readings before when I was in that really, you know, spiritual path. And these readings, I think they've just felt more generic, and like anyone could have said the things they said to me about a dead husband. And so that kind of sent me down this road where now I'm just questioning, you know, I had a dream about him a couple nights ago, and I'm like, oh, I don't think that was really you. And, you know, I want to believe, but I just, you know, I feel like I'm in a space right now where I want more proof. That's hard. And if he could come back, that'd be the best, but that's not going to happen.
What would be the best?
If he could just come back.
What did you say would be the best? If he could come back.
If he could just come back.
That would have, I totally get that. I'm really blown away that we've had four callers whose husbands have passed. So
I know,
often we have people with children, but in this one show. But
yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, how many months has it been since he passed?
It's been 14 months since he passed away. And you know, I went through the grieving process when he was sick all those years too. So I don't know, you know, what's making me feel this way. I want to believe, but I don't right now. And I'm sad for myself. We have a 3-year-old. I'm sad for her. Because I want to teach her, you know, I want to send her on a great path through life, and daddy will always be there to help you, but I don't want to just say these things to her.
All right. Well, I'm going to, you know, there is nothing like a very evidential reading to help you know what you know. I mean, it feels to me like you do know that he must still be around, but you've kind of lost your way. I start my Serving Spirits classes by talking about a woman who had totally lost her faith and her spirituality after her father, I think. She just needed one bit of evidence, and I thought, you know, if we evidential mediums don't get at least a handful of evidence in one reading, then we shouldn't call ourselves evidential mediums. And I know what you need is you need a good evidential reading. And I just said, I don't want to open myself up to this, but my guides, as you were talking, took my breath away and gave me a big do it. So I want you to, how are we going to do this? Reach me. I want you to, I'm going to do a reading for you, Kayleen. Okay.
Oh.
Just hope it's a setup from spirit. I have to tell all of you, my waiting list is closed, but this just feels like a setup right now because I can't help everybody, but the way they took my breath away, we will report out on this in another radio show, okay? But meanwhile, I do have four other mediums who don't have a long waiting list, that, and the rest of you, if you need that, we can help hook you up through the contact form on my website. Okay, so that's how you can reach me as well, Kayleen. All right. That's what evidential mediumship is all about, showing all of you that they really are still around, our loved ones. And there are very generic readings out there. And when my stepdaughter Susan passed, if I had had a generic reading, I would not be where I am today. It's the verifiable evidence that we couldn't know that changes lives. And that's my prayer for all of you listening, that you, if you're in a place where you need that, that you get that kind of a reading. And so we just have to go with the flow, and that's what I'm getting right now. So meanwhile, Kayleen, your task is to continue to try to get your own connection, right? A lot of tools for that on my website for doing that. Meditating being the number one key. Clearing out the grief and asking your own guides, you know, what is my path? I did a reading for a woman once. I want everybody to know she wanted to hear from her grandmother, and I just wasn't feeling grandma, and I knew she was there, and I wasn't getting evidence. And the woman says, This happens every time I have a reading. I know she's here, but I want to hear from somebody else. And I, all of a sudden, it was so clear. She was supposed to get that connection herself. And this is why her grandmother was not allowed to talk during the reading. And so I'm not saying that's the case with you, Kayleen. We'll find out when we get together. Okay.
Okay. So right. You want me to email you or?
Yeah. That's what I want you to do. So go through the website and we'll set it up. I don't want to get that out on the air right now.
Okay. Thank you so
all
much.
Right. Thanks
and
for calling.
And to everyone listening. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. So the alarm is going off on my phone, and that's so that I draw a name from this list here. I may take one more question, but I forgot last time. So I'm shuffling the names here, and I could ask Nellie to pull one out, but then she'd eat it, and that wouldn't help. So I'm going to pull it myself. Alex, you won one of my courses. So go to the website, use the contact form at the end, reach out to me, pick one of those three courses and tell us which one you want. And thank you for coming on the show. You know, that reminds me, everybody, Ty and I sailed across the Atlantic on our sailboat, and we spent the winter at a marina outside of Rome. And Rudy the sailing wiener dog was with us, and we were sitting in the cockpit one day, and this guy was sitting with us, and I don't know why he was giving us money for something. Maybe we had gotten something at the grocery store. Cruisers do that for each other. And he was giving us like a 5 euro bill to pay us for something. And I came up and I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but where's the 5 euro bill?" And he said, "Well, I handed it to your dog and he ate it." And I said, "Is this a joke?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Why did you give it to the dog? Like, why would you do that?" And it just seemed like the thing to do. Oh, my goodness gracious. So anyway, that's just a little aside. I want to see if Cassandra, who we couldn't get through to before, she looks like she's still on the air, and I don't want to leave her out.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes.
Oh, my God, I'm about to pass out. I'm so excited because when you said my name, I was like, and then I couldn't hear you. But I know you're running out of time. I just first want to say thank you for you and your guides. And I took the evidential medium, the first course, and it was a recorded one, so I couldn't really ask questions. And I just want to tell you that I've come so far. And, you know, my journey during this COVID virus has been a very uplifting, life-changing time for me. And I am starting to connect. I really feel vibrations and colors, and I see sacred geometry on the walls. And my question to you is, you mentioned like set up with your guide symbols, and so I wrote all these symbols, and but then I think my mind gets in the way. I get in the way of myself, and I'm learning that, but when you say you see symbols, like the example, you see a bun for a grandmother, say, are you seeing it? Or is it through your mind's eye? Like,
it's in my mind's eye. So anybody who's listening can do this right now. Just pick. You can hold your hand out in front of you and picture that there's an apple in your hand.
Okay.
You're not really seeing it. It's in your mind. Can you do that right now, Cassandra? That's what I mean. So if I were to suddenly see an apple in my mind's eye, maybe that's a symbol, and it comes up every time somebody ate fruit a lot. That's just a silly example, but like I did a reading today, and the young man across the veil showed me drawing on his arm. That's a symbol for a tattoo, and it just comes up every time somebody has a tattoo.
I was overthinking it. I really felt I'm getting like synchro. You know, like I read your wolf book, and that just blew me away. But before I even read it, I was looking on YouTube and I saw the meditation on YouTube before I even started with you, and I was like, I wonder, I know that guy. So then when I finally got to you, I was blown away. I'm also doing integrated energy healing. I'm on an intermediate level. But I feel like I knew Wolf, and it just, I mean, all the signs when I went to this woman's house for
Cassandra,
energy healing.
We are just about out of time, and I can tell you that most people who read Wolf's message feel him, meet him, know him. He's helping a lot of people.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'm sorry I have to cut you off, but I thank all of you for calling in. We'll meet you again the next month. exciting guests coming up this month. But for all of us, just remember to breathe and send love out to everyone. I love you all so much. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Hi, I'm Jane Asher, and I believe, and from what I've been shown, that when our loved ones die, they don't really leave. They just slip into the next room. On my podcast, I explore the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth, and what follows when we do die. I speak with authors, friends, transition specialists, and other experts about every facet of death, dying, grief, hospice care, cultural traditions, and also our beliefs about that final journey and what we may end up facing. Please join me on The Next Room on the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network or wherever you get your podcasts.